Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, September 27, 2023. And once again, we're honored to have with us a man of men, a true American patriot, and not just in words and deeds, but in facts and knowledge, Judge Andrew Napolitano. When it comes to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, as I say, bring anybody around and we'll talk about it. Nobody could top him because not only does he know about it as a judge, he ruled about it. And Judge, thanks for being on again. And you have an article that's coming out tomorrow. And it's very, very sad how the United States government has turned against its people. And it's about what happened on January 6th, back there in 2021, when the state punishes thoughts, and it's about what happened with the Proud Boys. So tell us more about that.
Well, everybody has their own image and impression of January 6th. To some people, it was a political demonstration that the government repressed with an iron fist. To others, it was a substantial and material disruption of a governmental function, and those who engaged in it should be prosecuted. But the article was about four people who weren't even there and who were charged with sedition and convicted of sedition. Sedition is a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States of America by violence or force. So I have argued that there's no such crime as a conspiracy. It's just a thought crime, since it's impossible, inconceivable, that four people could overthrow the government of the United States by force. What's being prosecuted is just their thoughts. There's no harm. They had nothing to do with it. They didn't cause it. If they caused 9/11, they would have been prosecuted. January 6th, they would have been prosecuted for it. If they caused any bodily injury, they would have been prosecuted for it. If they caused any property damage, they would have been prosecuted for it. Instead, they were prosecuted for a conspiracy, an agreement to overthrow the government. But conspiracy laws are unconstitutional because every definition, every acceptable definition of crime requires that there have been harm. No harm, no crime. When the crime wasn't committed, there's no harm. Therefore, what's being punished? The thoughts, the communications. What does the First Amendment protect? Think as you wish, say what you think, publish what you say. That's the deplorable state of affairs that we have today. The great trial lawyer Clarence Darrow, in another era and using different monetary amounts, once said, if a man steals $10, he's not going to go to jail. But if two men conspire to steal $10 and then don't do it, they are candidates for imprisonment. What kind of a country does this to its own people? Ours.
You mean these people that were convicted weren't even there?
Correct. They were not physically present in Washington, D.C. They were convicted on the basis of fanciful ideas and conversations that they had. Wouldn't it be nice if this could happen? Wouldn't it be nice if that could happen? It would be great if we could really expose the fact that Biden lost and Trump won. Whether that's factually true or not, it's not the point. The point is they were prosecuted for expressing those thoughts. So conspiracy, which only one Supreme Court justice denounced, Bob Jackson, who was FDR's attorney general, one of his attorneys general, and then Supreme Court justice, and then left the court, took a leave of absence from the court to become the chief American prosecutor at Nuremberg, if his name rings a bell, and then went back to the court. He's the only one that criticized conspiracy, saying it's the garden of the prosecutor's favor because they don't need a victim. They claim the government is the victim, and they don't have to prove harm. But it's a thought crime that they're punishing.
So in other words, if I said, you know, I'd like to see this damn government overthrown, I can't stand these people, that I could be convicted for that?
Well, it does require that one step be taken in further of the idea. First of all, it requires at least two people. So two or more people agreeing to commit a crime where one of them takes a step, even an innocent step, in furtherance of it, like calling somebody else up and saying, are you interested in overthrowing the government? Yes, they could prosecute that under the current prevailing conspiracy laws, which is why I wrote this piece to expose what the government has done. And it's not just the deep state. This is Congress. Congress has given the FBI and federal prosecutors a gift wrapped in a pink bow called the conspiracy. And the state governments have done the same thing. You have a next door neighbor and neither of you like where the sidewalk is. I'm going to move the sidewalk. I want my front yard to be a little larger. Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. And one of you goes to buy a shovel. They could prosecute the two of you for conspiracy to steal government property. That's how loosey-goosey and dangerous in a free society these conspiracy statutes are. And they were used to the hilt. Gerald, these guys didn't get 18 months. They got 18 years for sitting around a hotel room in Arlington, Virginia, and fancifully talking about what they would like to have happen to the federal government.
You know, when I tell everybody that there's nobody that knows the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, like you do, it's not only words, it's also deeds. Because you mention over here, I have argued, and in my years as a judge in New Jersey, I have ruled that the answer to this is no. If the conspirators concoct a plan that is impossible to pull off, like four persons overthrowing the United States government by force, then there is no harm. And the prosecution is exclusively for the employment of forbidden mental processes.
Who the hell is the government to punish us for forbidden mental processes? The First Amendment that guarantees the freedom of speech. In order to speak, you have to be able to think. It protects the right to think. The Ninth Amendment protects natural rights that are unenumerated in the first eight. It is clear beyond dispute that the right to think as you wish and say what you think is a fundamental liberty, absolutely protected by your natural rights as a human being and insulated from and immune from the government reach by the First and the Ninth Amendment. But the government prosecutes who it wants and the courts cave. The courts presume that whatever statutes Congress has written are constitutional, even when they violate the right to think, even when they violate the First Amendment, even when they violate the Ninth. Judges should presume that all statutes are unconstitutional because every law, I defy you to find one that doesn't fit in this category, every law either prohibits or compels behavior. Since we're born in a state of freedom, every law, every prosecution, every statute should be presumed unconstitutional, and the government should have the burden of overcoming that presumption.
You know, you go, yeah, I mean, you said before, it's a deplorable state of affairs. That's what's happened to this country. And you also mentioned that during the trial, an FBI agent admitted on the cross-examination that an FBI colleague asked her to alter evidence so as to remove the names of other FBI agents as having been present during a critical government meeting between agents and a confidential source, materially altering government records, particularly those to be evidence in a criminal case, is a felony.
Ask me if that the FBI agents who did that were prosecuted. I mean, you already know the answer. Of course not. No. She also revealed that they asked her to destroy 338 items of evidence, which she didn't destroy. She also revealed that the FBI was spying on one of the defendants in the courtroom. In the courtroom, every time that defendant and his lawyers talked in the conference room in the jail, nobody prosecuted. All of those things were felonies. Nobody, I don't know what became of her because she admitted to all of this on cross-examination, and the defendants were still prosecuted. If I had been the judge, there wouldn't have been a trial because I would have found that these conspiracy laws are unconstitutional. But if I'd been reversed and there was a trial, I would have dismissed the charges right then and there because the behavior of the government shocks the conscience. I would have stopped the trial and said, who asked you to alter evidence? I want to know the name of the FBI agent they asked you to alter evidence. Whose name did they want to keep out of the records that was afraid to come in this courtroom and testify? Bring that FBI agent into my courtroom. That's what I would have done. But this judge just accepted what the government said.
Will they be able to appeal this?
Well, yes, of course. I have a feeling that these appeals may actually resonate with the Supreme Court, that the current Supreme Court, which has never reviewed the conspiracy laws in its current makeup of the current nine, there may actually be a large agreement. The libertarian wing and the liberal wing may actually agree on there can be no conspiracy where there is no harm and where the so-called conspiracy is impossible to have achieved. A number of those appeals, not just this one, the conviction of the so-called kidnap plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan, a plot totally concocted, paid for, trained by, organized by FBI agents undercover. There were three of those trials. Two were not guilty. Two of the trials, they were found not guilty. One of them, there was a hung jury. They retried them and they were convicted. All those cases, those conspiracy cases, are going to make their way to the Supreme Court.
So the one in Michigan, the guys went to jail then?
I believe they're in jail now. Yes, even though it's on appeal. Most of them got acquitted. The ones that there was a hung jury on, there was a second trial, and the second time around, they were convicted. It's terribly unfair.
And the whole this was brought to you by the FBI, the ones that created the thing.
Correct. The not a hair on the governor's head was ever in danger. The whole thing was monitored, created, crafted by FBI agents.
What has happened to this country that this is going on? This is those dirty commies, those dirty Russians, we've become what this country's fought against.
Correct. We have become what we beautifully said. I mean, it's terrible to hear it, but it's true. We have become what we fought against is correct. This is the same mentality that pursued Trump for all 4 years in office. This is an FBI with federal prosecutors. Remember, the FBI is powerless without federal prosecutors. This is an FBI and federal prosecutors, career people, not political appointees. Totally out of control. Totally out of control.
Yeah. This is the America that goes all around the world, that kills millions of people, that cost us, since World War II, hundreds of trillions of dollars to bring freedom and democracy.
The American way.
Yep.
I interviewed the great University of Chicago professor John Mearsheimer on my podcast yesterday. He argues that the American government has caused more death and destruction than all the other governments combined.
Oh, yeah.
That American empire is determined to the lust for empire is determined to fail. America's leadership of the West is already failing. America's leadership of the West and NATO caused the war with Ukraine. Biden's hanging on by his fingernails because even people around him are beginning to doubt where all the money is going. Biden announced over the weekend that even if the government shuts down, the flow of cash to Ukraine will not shut down because it comes from a discretionary fund that he controls. It's a mess.
It's a mess. And how about what's going on, what just happened up in Canada, where they honored that Nazi and that arrogant little Trudeau, that little daddy's boy, that arrogant little clown of nothing. My daddy was Pierre Trudeau, and I'm a member of the club. That's how I got in here. This is the guy that when they had the freedom marches, which I was very involved in up in Canada, when the truckers took to the streets because they didn't want to get vaccinated when they crossed the borders, and they had up signs with a Nazi insignia that this is what's happened to Canada, that we're turning into Nazis, how he criticized, how that little Trudeau criticized and called these people anti-Semites and this and that for putting up a Nazi sign. But they, of course, they were putting up the Nazi sign to show they were losing their freedom. But right. This is a Trudeau whose little government saluted a Nazi murderer.
Correct. And then when the tide of public opinion turned against them, went on national television, blamed the Speaker of the Parliament, and then said, it's really, you ready for this? It's Vladimir Putin's fault. Hey, dude. Hey, Mr. Prime Minister. You invited this creep. You were there. You stood up and applauded for him, and you're blaming it on Vladimir Putin? This is how nutty, how crazy the establishment has become.
Again, look at the little freak. Look at the little freaks running the show. I know, Judge. I know how Mitch McConnell is so brilliantly aware of everything going on and how Biden is not out of his mind. Look at the freaks that are running the show around the world. You know, going back to the Nazi, this is an article in this week's Trends Journal. Putin has said Russia is fighting neo-Nazis in Ukraine. You ready? This is from the Trends Journal, August 28th, 2014. Russia can see Ukrainian neo-Nazis rearing their heads. This is when they overthrew the government. 2019, after Zelensky won, Western curators have put a person at the head of modern Ukraine, an ethnic Jew with Jewish roots, with Jewish origins, and thus, in my opinion, they seem to be covering up an anti-human essence that is the foundation of a modern Ukrainian Nazi state. February 24, 2022, we will strive for the demilitarization of the denazification of Ukraine, as well as bringing to justice those who committed numerous bloody crimes against civilians. This is after they killed over 16,000, 15,000 people in the Russian-speaking Donbass region. On and on and on, on and on and on, he calls what's going on in Ukraine neo-Nazi. Here, September 5th, 2022, the tragedy taking place in Donbass resulted from the actions of the nationalist neo-Nazi regime. One after another, Putin's been calling the Ukrainian regime, since it began, a neo-Nazi regime. And the fact is that they've celebrated Bandera, the Nazi, the Ukrainian Nazi supporter during World War II, putting up statues of him. But that's okay.
I guess the key word is arrogance, that these people would expect us to believe that Ukraine is the good guy, Russia is the bad guy, Putin is the monster, Putin is the Nazi, Putin's responsible for the Nazi being saluted in the Canadian Parliament. I mean, at some point, the public should be able to see through this, Gerald. Trudeau just happens to be one of the worst and least sophisticated examples of these elites. As we speak, the leaders of the truckers, you and I both addressed them via remote. The leaders of the truckers are on trial in a criminal case in Ottawa as we speak. I don't know what the outcome will be. It'll probably be as forced and aggressive as the prosecution of these people on 9/11 that we were, or excuse me, second time I said that, these people on January 6th that we were talking about earlier.
Of course you mentioned 9/11 because you also mentioned in your article about this attitude, law enforcement is free to break the laws it enforces in the name of mythical national security, goes back to the weeks after 9/11, when the then president, George W. Bush, began his systemic shredding of the Constitution by unleashing federal agencies to spy on all Americans without warrants, and the CIA to torture foreign prisoners in order to gain information about the so-called threats to the nation. So there you go.
That is coming home to roost as we speak, because they can't try some of these people in Guantanamo Bay because the lawyers are ethically prohibited from defending the torture. So George Bush and Lindsey Graham and that crowd have created a mess.
Again, you kept mentioning 9/11 because you've written about it, and it keeps going back in your mind about how this country has been so destroyed from the Patriot Act and everything else that happened after 9/11. And as I said, as George Carlin used to say, it's one big club and you ain't in it.
Right.
And little Georgie Bush, a little clown of nothing, arrogant little boy, another daddy's boy like Trudeau.
Correct.
Yep.
Yep. Dumb and dumber. They are both daddy's boys.
Yep.
One a so-called conservative Republican, the other a so-called liberal. I don't know what the term is in Canada. But both big government warfare, welfare, surveillance state, anything the government wants, the government is right. That mental attitude. Unfortunately, that attitude prevails. Apparently, I'm not a student of Canadian politics. Apparently, in the Canadian Parliament, it surely prevails in the American Congress. It's only five or six libertarian Republicans who are holding up legislation to put at first $6 billion and then $5 billion and then $20 billion into Zelensky's coffers.
It's just terrible. Just terrible. And where are the people protesting?
Nowhere. As you once said, they're more interested in what Taylor Swift said to her NFL player boyfriend from the stands, what she blew a kiss out of and whispered to him. They're more interested in that than they are in the loss of their freedom and the loss of their wealth. Loss of their wealth. The government borrows money from China, sends it to Ukraine. The Fed prints cash with which to pay the interest on the money. Taxpayers as yet unborn pay taxes to pay back the borrowing. And the young generation doesn't understand, doesn't know, and doesn't care.
Nope.
Sometimes it's like we're shoveling against the tide, Gerald, or whistling in the wind. I don't know how many analogies you can come up with.
I'll give you a good example. Last Thursday, September 21st, International Peace Day. Not one word in the mainstream media about it. You could Google it up. International Peace Day and then hit news. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. A couple of small articles from, those tiny little newspapers. Not one word about International Peace Day. But boy, oh boy, how they love to promote war, those little prostitutes.
Yes,
those media wars that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and their government whoremasters.
Yes. Yeah.
So everybody, remember, you got to see what the judge is doing day after day after day on his site, Judging Freedom. The people that he's bringing on, the information that he's putting out about what in the world is going on in the fields that he's so knowledgeable in, you won't find anywhere else. So go to judgingfreedom.com, www.judgenap.com, and see more of what's going on. Judge, thanks so much for being on, and we'll see you next week.
Pleasure, Gerald. All the best, my friend.